two village idiots with a love-hate relationship.
See, you got fat.
See, you still look like a 15-year-old girl, but not hot.
Who can't stop arguing over Oklahoma sports.
You know what, man? Why am I still talking to you?
Come on, we were doing good there, man.
It's the Just Okay Sports Podcast.
Sooner Nation, Thunder Nation, we are back. This is the Just Okay Sports Podcast. That means Just Oklahoma Sports and a Just Okay Podcast. I am here with my brother and my good friend, Troy and Jared. It's going to be a good night. And so let's get this thing started, gentlemen. How are we doing?
I mean, Jared. I'm here. It's my brother's birthday, so
Happy birthday, Daryl.
Why?
Happy birthday, Daryl.
He wanted to ask us first, so we'd be like, oh, it's his birthday. Everybody be so happy for him.
My gosh.
Don't you get enough attention every Sunday when you preach?
Yeah.
No. Here's the thing. Let me answer that a different way.
Oh, wow. Your congregation really loves you.
I will definitely say my congregation is not a, they are not a, man, that was killer kind of like place. Like that does not happen very often at all. They are definitely not negative about anything, but they're not a, you know, shower you with ridiculous praise all the time kind of a thing. Like when when I get any kind of moment that's like, that was good, I'm like, oh, yes, like, let's go.
So Jared, I got to tell you this. So, you know, in our fantasy league that we've been in for, you know, I don't know what, 13 years now, 12 years, Daryl, a lot of us put happy birthday with a nice gift or something like that, right? So we started it off with a Poku gift saying happy birthday to Daryl. Then a Josh Giddey gift. Happy birthday. In there was also a Chris Farley taking a shirt off from Billy Madison. It's like, okay, that is correct. That little thing, happy birthday. Another one with where Davis put something on. I don't even know who those guys are. They're just
Not sure either. It's very disturbing.
Then I put a picture of Vince Young in the confetti pointing after the national championship, and I just said happy birthday, Daryl. So everybody he hates, we ended up saying.
Let me read what Troy put, because this is what's epic. Let me read what Troy put. First of all, he puts a picture of Vince Young, which is just trash. And then he says, happy birthday to one of the pastors I know.
I put that. I'm in the middle of my office, and I just start laughing out loud. And I like to.
Troy called me. Was like, dude, have you looked at it yet? Have you? He's still laughing. Like four hours after he posts it. That was a good one. That was a good one. I was laughing. I was crying in my office at that one.
Oh, that was good. But his birthday present, I'm going to take him to go see. He's going to be my date. We're going to go see Dune 2.
That's right.
Are you gonna get a bucket of popcorn?
No, I can't do that one. No, that one, that's disgusting. The bucket of popcorn for Dune 2 is disgusting, dude.
Yeah.
I'm upset. I am obsessed with that movie. Like Dune 1, it's a top 10 movie of all time for me.
Wow.
I am obsessed with that movie.
Okay. It was good, but it was not that good.
No, Dune 1 is like I'm obsessed with seeing the sequel, but like the last like 2 or 3 weeks, I've watched it like 3 times or something like that.
Goodness.
Yeah. You know, that's what's funny is I'm hoping Dune 2 is good. So maybe it'll lift my spirits because the Halo show released season 2. And I feel like
I didn't even finish season 1. It was.
Dude, it's so bad. It's like it's not even a travesty to Halo fans. Sure. It's a travesty to television. Like it's just like they had like a like $10 million budget per episode, and the CGI literally looks like they hired a bunch of high school kids and were like, go crazy, like use MS Paint. It's fine.
That's bad.
Anyways,
that is. But yeah, bad.
No, I've been good, Daryl. So happy birthday, little big brother. but yeah, no, I've been freaking busy. It sucks. I haven't got to watch any of the softball. Like, it feels like I'm in like a dead zone. And F1's about to start. I did watch the Daytona 500. That's always just a fun one to watch, even though I don't like really like NASCAR. Like, I don't watch NASCAR that much anymore. It's always crazy to watch that race.
Oh.
Like, that's always one to turn on.
Dude,
like,
I will always turn on Daytona and Talladega. That's exactly right. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like, there's always going to be epic crashes and all the stuff. Like, and the dude that won the Daytona, literally, like, you won because you just avoided the final crash. Like, that's, he was in like seventh place, and then all of a sudden there was
That was the guy that got second. The guy that won was out front. But
No.
You talking about the guy that won the Xfinity? Because the guy that won the main race, whatever the main, like the big series is, he was in front. The guy in second was like literally in like fifth or sixth place, and everybody crashed in front of him, and he actually almost slingshotted past the leader. The guy that won the race, but it was like by a bumper that he ended up losing.
That's crazy.
Well, I'm just mad y'all are making me do this, and I can't just sit in front of my screen trying to play Helldivers just at server capacity the whole time.
Hey, are you spreading democracy?
I'm trying to, but the servers won't let me.
Oh, okay.
For democracy.
Are you doing it on Steam or PlayStation?
It doesn't matter, it's crossplay.
Yeah, I just need to add you so we can give everybody liberty.
Yes.
Liberty. Oh,
well, hey, we have not potted since the Super Bowl, so I thought it would be good to kick off this whole thing with just a brief thoughts. Troy, what did you think of the Super Bowl? Your Chiefs, yet again.
You really think this is gonna be a brief
summary? My Lord.
Hold on, I got to pull up the game stats. I didn't know we were doing this.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, you don't know because you never read the flow.
And you keep getting mad about it. You're like, this is par for the course.
At some point, it's kind of your fault because you have like the expectation he will.
No, actually, it's not, because I will even say, Troy, do research on this topic so you don't have to go read the flow. I just need you to be prepared for this. And he still shows up and goes, think I'm going to do any of that? Like,
no. All right, let's talk. Let's talk Super Bowl.
Oh, Lord.
Let's talk Super Bowl. I am so, first of all, this is what Cowboys fans felt like in the 90s. This is nice. This is really nice. Okay. The game was awesome. It was honestly, it was a great game. Great game. Defensive. 25-22. Really fun to watch. The fourth quarter in overtime was every single play was like there was so much tension, and I was stressed out with every single play. It was crazy. But the 49ers should have won this game. Patrick Mahomes became Patrick Mahomes, but I truly believe it came down to two things, why the Chiefs ended up winning. Yes, their second half was amazing. They figured out the Niners defense. But as like the Niners were destroying the Chiefs in the first half, mm-hmm. and they only had a 10-3 lead at halftime. That's not good. You're keeping it open for Mahomes to come back. And he did. And they did. Right. And the other thing is the Chiefs had two turnovers. The Niners got 0 points off of both turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
I thought those were two of the biggest things. As close as the game was when it came to some of the statistics and all the stuff going into overtime, if the Niners have a 14-3 lead, 17-3 lead, I don't know if the Chiefs come back. I don't think they do. And now there's some things in the second half that the Chiefs got lucky on, like the muff punt and stuff like that. And the Chiefs played really good in the second half, really good in the second half. But if the Niners were up any more than 10-3, and so that's where I thought it came down to. But Mahomes is the best player in the world.
Yeah.
Yet again.
I agree with that. Jared, thoughts on Super Bowl?
I know Troy's a Chiefs fan. I know it pains him. So I was cheering for the Niners.
That's okay. That's okay.
Here's the thing. Let me put it this way. I respect Patrick Mahomes as I wouldn't argue with you. He's the greatest quarterback to play the game right now, especially maybe making contention forever.
Mm-hmm. He's got some ways to go, but yes, he's on the path.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you took a snapshot of him at this point in anybody's career at that age.
Oh yeah.
Like he's, no question. he's, he's, yeah. So I can respect that. I think Travis Kelce is going to go down as one of the greatest tight ends to play, you know, things like that. I really wanted CMC to get a win just because I really like CMC.
Mm-hmm.
Love, you know, there's a lot of, I love a lot of the guys on there, even like Brock Purdy, like you cheer for him.
McCaffrey's easily the best back in the game, by the way, easily.
Yes.
Dude,
yes.
That first, I think it was their first touchdown play. It was like, bro, like the guy is lightning. Like,
he's shot out of a cannon. His first step. His like, first step is amazing.
Yeah. Like when he caught that ball, it was like literally, like you said, like his second step was already at like full speed. Yes. But somebody that was running down the sideline would not have caught him. That was already in a dead sprint. So, but anyway, no, I agree with Troy on a lot of that. I think my biggest contention with the Chiefs, and I guess I want your thoughts on this, Troy. The reason that I wasn't cheering for them, and I didn't really, really was pretty adamantly against them, was like they kept trying to say, like, well, nobody thought we'd be here.
And it was like, this year, yes.
They sounded like the Georgia Bulldogs of last year, is what they sounded like.
Here's my thing, Troy. You just won the Super Bowl. And I understand sometimes teams fall off, but it was like every chance you got, you were saying, like, nobody wants us to be here. And it's like, okay, people were like, the receiving corps is depleted, right? You've lost some key playmakers. What's going to happen? But I never really heard anybody be like, no, the Chiefs are not going to make the playoffs.
No, like,
I thought it was a little overplayed by some of the players. Like,
Mahomes, 100% it is. But like, okay, here's what I will say to that: is it annoying when I heard Georgia do it? Yes. Is it annoying when I heard my own team do it? No. But it is. It honestly is. Like, if I was to take my fandom out of it, yes, it's annoying. This and I think where they're coming from is they lost 6 games this year. Like, nobody thought they would go 11-6 this year after winning the Super Bowl last year. At times, they looked like they weren't going to win a game in the playoffs, right? This season, but they didn't play Kadarius Toney, and all of a sudden, we win every game since then. That was the key. That was I hate that dude with a passion. And oh my gosh, sidebar: when he said at Super Bowl media, he was like, "I'm absolutely the number one receiver. Just got to give me the ball. They've got to give me the ball." I'm like, all right. I'm gonna move past that one, Kadarius. But it's annoying. Yeah, but like you both know this. Like, the best athletes, the best players in the world for any sport, they got to get some kind of chip on their shoulder, and that was their chip.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I think it was just the level that it felt like it was played up to me. Maybe this is just me.
It was every chance they talked.
Yeah,
they went there.
Like, they lost, like, it was, like, I remember, like, early in the season, like, they lost a game, and some reporter was like, are the Kansas City Chiefs as good as last year? And they're like, see, nobody thinks we're going to – it's like, that's not even what they said, you know?
Yeah.
they twisted receipts around all year.
Let me throw this out there, and I'll give Daryl the floor to give his reaction. I think if the Chiefs and the Niners, who look like they're probably going to be able to at least keep most of their core players, right? I know there's some questions with Kelce and all that. But if they keep their core players, like, I've heard, like, there's some, like, talks about contract extensions and all that sort of stuff. I don't really know. If they're able to keep them together, I think, like, honestly, those teams are both so good. The only, like, the Niners and the Chiefs could be in the Super Bowl next year. Like, the problem with the Niners is some of their players are aging. Like, Trent Williams is, I don't even know how old anymore. He's still playing at a high level, but
he's still, yeah.
It's one of those things. It's kind of like, when's, especially with an offensive lineman, when is it going to fall apart, unfortunately? But if you told me that the 2025 Super Bowl was going to have the Chiefs and the Niners, I don't know that I would really, at this point in time, think that that's a crazy proposition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, great Super Bowl. I agree with that. I would love, there's a part of me that we haven't really had. You know, even when New England went on their big run, there was kind of the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady thing, but not really. Like, it was kind of there, but there was never a true rival to the Patriots. They just kind of rolled. And I would love to see the 49ers hold it together and create that. Like, and I'm for dynasties. I'm not anti-dynasty guy, even though I was rooting against Kansas City just for CMC's sake. But it would be fun to see a repeat Super Bowl, you know, 3 out of 5, 4 out of 6 years, and just really see a war go down.
It'll be the same result just because Kyle Shanahan's still coaching.
Oh Lord, here we go. Here we go.
So let me ask this real quick, because this is something that we were talking, like a couple of me and some football buddies were talking about the other day. This could apply to a lot of pro sports. What would you think if they implemented, I don't know how exactly this would work on a large scale, but simply put, say you drafted, we'll use Caleb Williams going to the Bears, right? Say he gets drafted by the Bears, and the Bears from that point on, if they keep him on roster, they keep him under contract, not only could Caleb Williams basically get a bigger contract, but then maybe the Bears get some, like a little bit of like a discount on, like they get a, I don't know what you would call it. I would say discount, but they'd get like a reduction on how that affects their salary cap. That way you do have players instead of having, because like the NBA, it's like nearly an epidemic on most organizations where you have somebody that plays at a lot, like a really good player that plays somewhere for 2 or 3 years and then hops to another team. So it's like, you never really have, it's like hard for a lot of teams to keep dynasties because people hop around so much. It's probably more worse. It's like probably worse in the NBA than it is the NFL. Yeah. But
I don't see that being a huge, as big of a problem in the NFL right now. If you're good enough and you're getting paid where you're at, you know, if you're in that upper echelon of things, to the Shanahan statement, I did not think some of the things he did in the second half were smart. I did not think he did some things well in the second half at all. In particular, going empty backfield when Christian McCaffrey was gashing Kansas City in the first half made no sense. And the same token, that dude had some really bad luck at the same time too. Greenlaw going down hurt was huge in that game. And that's the thing that ticks me off. It's not that Shanahan made all the right decisions, but the fact that everybody showed up on Monday just crucifying the guy as a choke artist of a coach, it's like, okay, he lost the AFC Championship game when his starting quarterback went down injured. He lost the Super Bowl with a one hamstring Deebo Samuel, his starting linebacker out hurt, and then George Kittle was out for multiple plays and series down the stretch of that game as well. Like, if we were talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, and you said, yeah, Patrick Mahomes was healthy, but Kelsey went down hurt, and Chris Jones went down hurt, and this guy went down hurt, we'd be going, you know, they're a really great team, and the injury bug got them. And that was like, literally, I watched 3 shows on Monday. Not one mentioned the injury bug. Not one. All they could talk about was his overtime decision. That was it. It was the overtime decision. And they also didn't want to talk about the fact that a kicker missed an extra point that should be another leg up for them to have a chance to win the game. And honestly, I'm still 50-50 and don't know what I think about Shanahan's decision on the overtime.
I understand the reasoning. I've heard both sides of it. And so, like, I
understand. Think, but I'm saying I don't know if I lean one way or the other.
I know. I hear you. And I think that's a moot point because – for me, on Shanahan, he's going to go down as one of the better coaches in the NFL of this era, right? He's 100% going to go down as one of the better coaches. At the same time, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 3 times, I'm out of there. Seriously, well,
but
like,
I mean, but I would say, like, if anything, I can't really chalk up last season's. Like, when you lose, you lost your. At the time was your second or third string quarterback, and then you're having to play.
I'm not talking about last year. I'm talking about 28-3, 10-point lead, all 3 Super Bowls. And at a certain point, you can keep talking about luck, but at a certain point, something is not happening that should be happening.
Okay, number one. Why do we keep putting the Super Bowl that he was up 28-3 on him when he wasn't the head coach?
Because he was calling the plays.
Okay, what's the head coach's freaking job?
So are we blaming?
So
are
like,
we playing?
Well, it's the same thing. He's got the same level of responsibility from Atlanta to San Francisco.
That makes no sense whatsoever. If the head coach didn't like the game plan in that game, it was his job to correct it, and he did not. Now, you can still question his play calling, but we also don't know if the head coach was in the headset saying, hey, I want you to do this. That's never discussed. Never. And then this game, so two of the three, we don't know what the circumstances were with the head coach. Head coach. And now this game, we've just discussed, literally three of their top five players were hurt.
I get it, but you're also like, it's a pattern. It's a pattern now that has happened for three Super Bowls.
But it's not a pattern when you put context to it. If Troy, if he was the head coach of all three and his team's healthy in all three, you have a pattern. When you have, I'm the offensive coordinator and I'm not in charge, that's not a pattern. And when you have three of your top five players get hurt, that's not a pattern. That's context of the situation. If he's healthy through all of them, we can talk. And if he's the head coach of all of them.
Let me say it this way, Troy. Because I see what you're saying. Like, we're not even talking about last season, but like last season you can't even bring up because that was just, like you said, that is just terrible luck. This year, I'm with you. It's like 50-50. I don't think he did the best job he could. But I also can't see a way that you're just like looking at that game and going, man, he just really screwed them so hard. Like, he just fumbled it really bad.
I mean, the smallest stat in that game is one catch for 1 yard after injury, 11 targets, 10 receptions, and whatever, 100 and whatever yards for Kelce.
Yeah. He had 9 for 91 in the second half, or 8 for 91.
But, you know, that's. Shanahan didn't have his backup linebacker ready to cover the one of the world's greatest tight ends in the history of the game.
All I'm saying is he did not run the ball in the second half near enough. Okay.
I think we can agree on that.
He did not get the ball. He did not get the ball to McCaffrey more. I know he had 30 touches, 160 yards, but he was dicing the Chiefs up. Get the ball more to him. I don't care how you do it. And they kept trying to force feed Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, which got shut down by the Chiefs, probably the best corner tandem in the league at this point.
Yeah, they're really
so good. Let's put it in a different context, Troy. Say Greenlaw doesn't go down and Kelce gets shut down.
Okay.
In the second half. Do you think the Chiefs still win the game?
No, I don't.
Thank you.
So
that's all I'm saying. That
sometimes there's coaches, sometimes there's people that it might not be their fault, but they just draw in that bad luck and they never get it done and stuff like that. Is Shanahan that person? The reason he is getting raked, he got raked over the coals after the Super Bowl because now this is three times, regardless of what the context is, it's now three times this has happened to him. In that spot.
Yeah, and guess what? So was Andy Reid.
How many times did he get to the Super Bowl before the
Chiefs? Never, because he kept losing the freaking AFC Conference Championship round over and over and over and over. He couldn't even get to the game.
He's right.
But now he has Patrick Mahomes, context, and he's the greatest coach maybe in the modern era.
Look, let's put it this way, Troy. If Andy Reid loses the Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, who are two both generational players, then you should be like, man,
But you were talking about ifs. You were talking about ifs. You're not talking about what actually happened.
I that's what I'm saying.
What actually happened was each time Shanahan is in this spot, he loses, regardless of context. And each time that Andy Reid is in this spot, regardless of context, he wins, Shanahan loses. So, and I know there's so much more.
See, that's where I disagree, because I think literally he has lost. Still at this point, he's lost as many big games as he's won. Andy Reid has,
not Super Bowls,
because he couldn't get there.
I'm talking about Super Bowls. I'm just talking about Super Bowls at this point. Right. I'm not talking about big games. I've never used the word big games. I've said the Super Bowl, this spot.
And he's only been there with Patrick Mahomes.
Sure, sure. That's where I also said Shanahan is one of the best coaches of this era, period. I fully understand that. But I also think there is something to stuff happens around him in this Super Bowl spot. He's up 10. He's up double digits three different times.
Yeah, that's
it. I just don't think you can look at this game. If you look at that game and you come out with the answer of Kyle Shanahan is the reason
I didn't say that. I said I thought the reason they lost, they were trouncing the Chiefs in the first half. They didn't have a big enough lead there, and they didn't take advantage of the turnovers. And that's why they lost. I didn't say it because of Shanahan.
Well, and I it's just like you have to highlight though again the context of things. Like we were talking about bad luck, like the muff punt. That really bounced off his blocker's leg.
I know, man.
So he had to dive. And it's like, that's just, there's nobody, it's one of those things that's football where nobody does anything wrong and it still doesn't go your way.
Oh, no, that returner did something wrong. He tried to scoop the ball instead of just diving on it.
Well, okay. But at the same time, you know what I'm saying? Like the guy blocking, it was like the guy wasn't blocking super close to him. He probably was maybe a little too close, but it's like, it's in that margin of error.
Yeah.
It was just bad luck bounce.
I will say this. He is one of the smartest dudes on that field. Shanahan is. But if him and his team really did not understand the rules, the new rules of the overtime, that's not a good look.
If his players didn't understand it, that bothers me a little bit. But, I mean, I'm going to take it face value, and that's why I was saying I don't know how I feel about it. When they went to overtime and I knew both of them were getting the ball, I was like 9 out of 10 people saying, well, then you want to defer so you get that second, know what you have to get as the second team getting the ball. But when you start to realize, okay, if you both go down and score a field goal or you both go down and score a touchdown, now the Kansas City Chiefs are guaranteed the ball and there's nothing you can do but just sit like, okay, at that point, ensuring that you get that chance to put destiny in your own hands.
I lean towards deferring because I want to know what I need. That's what I lean towards.
That I understand what you're saying, Troy. To me, the overtime rules in the NFL are an absolute comedy of what are we doing? For years. Like the overtime rules in the NFL have been a joke to me for I don't even know how many years.
Oh, I know.
Then they changed them. And it's like, okay, well, these rules apply in the regular season.
And why did they change them? Because of the Chiefs and Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you see what I'm saying? But then it was like when they changed them, then there was like a point. I remember there was like one season where it's like the regular season had overtime rules. And then there was a different set of rules for everything up to the Super Bowl. And then the Super Bowl had it. And it was like, what are we doing? How can you not decide on a system that applies across the board?
At the end of the day, we can all agree it is the best product in professional sports still.
Oh, 100%. But they they need to get over there. Everything has to stay in a 3-hour time slot. When it's the Super Bowl, people want to see greatness. And look, that game was.
It was.
But if it had gone to another overtime, nobody wants to see, the Chiefs scored first, they win. Like, nobody wants to see that. Like, they want to see it solved.
This is the thing. Like, this Super Bowl, I know this is like, people are going to be like, you're not a real football fan or whatever. There's plenty of Super Bowls that we've watched in the last decade where, like, you turn it on and then, like, you kind of just watch the commercials. Like, you're like, you have football on, but you're just showing on
stuff. I feel like the last decade, we've had some really good Super Bowls.
No, we have, but I'm just saying, like, you always have those years where it's like, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I do feel like this was, like, one of the better Super Bowls of the decade or whatever. But, and, like, I've heard people say, like, the World Cup's better. It's like, as a single game event, the Super Bowl trounces everything, even the World Cup. Mm-hmm. Maybe the finals of the World Cup would get close just because of the international aspect of it. But,
Okay, real quick. All right, let's run through the last 10 years. And we've actually had some good Super Bowls recently.
We really have.
The overtime, it was the first overtime Super Bowl we've had, I think, ever.
I thought that's what they said on the broadcast.
Don't quote me on it. But we had this year's, which was good. Last year's Chiefs-Eagles, 38-35, good game.
Great game.
Rams-Bengals, last second drive. Oh,
that was an incredible game.
Good game. The Bucks beating the Chiefs, not that great because Tom Brady beat them 31-9. Not that great. But then the Chiefs beating the Niners 31-20. Remember in the fourth quarter, Mahomes took over.
Yeah.
Right. And or into the third, into the fourth. But 31-20, that was a good one. Patriots beating the Rams was, I thought, a snooze fest, 13-3.
Yeah.
But then the Eagles beating the Patriots with Nick Foles and the Philly special. Awesome, awesome game. Oh, no, no. So it was overtime. The 28-3 game was overtime.
I was gonna say, I think they said that. I think they said it was a second ever, is what they said on the broadcast.
So that was also a great game. The Broncos beating the Panthers 24-10. It was kind of
scary. That was a snooze fest.
And then the Patriots beating the Seahawks 28-24 when the Seahawks should have ran the ball.
Yes.
Run with Marshawn. So I think 7 out of the last 10 years have been really good Super Bowls where we had a stretch where it was crap on the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we've had both and. So, I did not intend us to do a 15-minute segment.
What did you expect? Yeah, I got a Chiefs fan wanting to talk Super Bowl. You're like, quick. No. I'm not going to take quick. By the way, I want to commend both of you for not even bringing up my most hated topic of T-Swift. Thank you. I'm the one that brought it up.
It doesn't bother. Like, I still just don't understand. Oh, it bothers the snot out of me. I don't understand.
Dude, hang on. We did talk about this, Troy, and I want just I'm gonna feed the fire just for a sec. Did you see where she threatened to sue somebody if they? There's a guy on Twitter, and he's like known, like he posts flight.
Oh yes, I saw this.
That's publicly available data, and she threatened to sue the guy. And I was like, it's literally anybody can. That's anyways. Awesome.
All right, let's talk some OU football now. Let's get out of the Super Bowl. Let's get back to college football.
What is going on with OU football? Nothing.
Schmitty workouts are in effect.
Are we going to seriously talk about Schmitty workouts?
Well, here's the only thing I will bring up that I thought was kind of interesting, right? We do have David Stone's in, Devon Mitchell's in. There's a lot of the big names that have come in early. Has been interesting is the two under the radar names that keep popping up in the top four or five guys that are really showing out is Michael Boganowski and Reggie Powers, which I think is yet again, number one, Brandon Hall, good job recruiting. Cause that safety room is getting awfully full. If these reports are accurate and true and on task. Now, obviously David Stone has stood out. Devon Mitchell has been apparently just a freak of nature, which we kind of anticipated. And it's good to hear that that meets expectation. But to hear, like, out of all the guys that are here, that Boganowski and Powers are up there, I think is really good news for the class. It's good news for the defense. And I get intrigued by that kind of stuff. I like hearing those reports. We'll never know till they pad up and they get on the field. But to know that guys that, when you think about this class, were not necessarily – you know, this top tier, the guy that we were all sweating whether or not they were coming or not coming, are showing out in there. I mean, again, just shows the great job of evaluations and bringing in by this staff.
I'll be the dark one for this. Let's put a little grain of salt to that because we've heard that every year under BV where we've heard like, oh, so-and-so is just standing out and then they don't see the field. Caleb Hicks. We heard nothing about raves about Caleb Hicks and dude hasn't touched the field.
Yeah.
So,
and that was still very puzzling to me.
And it's not just the running back room. I'm just saying that was just somebody that came to mind. It's every year there's like two, three, four guys that they're just raving about, and then we see nothing. So,
this is what we know, right? The winter workouts do not tell us how well they can process a playbook. The winter workouts do not tell us how well they can read a defense or an offense. You know, like all that still has to play out. But look, to me, again, when you've got your lower-end three-star guys showing out with your four- and five-star guys, that's nothing but a positive for the team moving forward, right? Because if those guys can you know, ascend to that, again.
Can it be twisted the other way? It's like, hey, your three-star guys are as good as your four- and five-star guys.
I think you could say that if those guys weren't getting good reviews. But the four- and five-star guys that are there are getting those reviews. I mean, there's not been a, man, this guy, like, for instance, one of those was Derek LeBlanc last year. Like, as an example of a guy that everybody was excited, and then he kind of got here, and it was like, this isn't working out so great. You know what I mean? Like, we're not hearing that, I don't think, so far out of this class. At least none of the stuff I've read or the people that have mentioned stuff in the Discord or anything else is saying that. But it's more so like, man, like, these guys are really good athletes, way better than we thought, and they're right there with the rest of the guys, not they're way up there and everybody else sucks kind of a thing, if that makes sense. You know,
that's fair. Okay.
So that's that. Recruiting wise, I think the only thing that is continuing to be out there and around is the five-star, depends on what service you look at, safety, linebacker kind of guy, Jonah Williams, out of the Texas area, continues to get crystal ball to OU by every service there is, which again, doesn't mean anything, but very good trend for sure for OU on that front.
Have you seen if we got any crystal balls for Lincoln Cure?
I have not, but he was talked about at length on Drum and Thune's podcast the other day.
Yeah,
and,
so Troy, for you, if you don't know, there's a they are actually in on a tight end. His name is Lincoln Cure. I was like, that's the perfect tight end. We have to get him. Like, literally throw the bag at him. Brahms, jump in this one. Brahms, like, get the bag. Get that Brahms money thrown at him, bro.
Loves, let's go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. And then the only other thing I wanted to talk to you guys about is, you know, one thing that we've talked about, but it continues to be an issue, not an issue, but just a situation in Norman, is we know that Jeff Lebby took another job. We know that Ted Roof is gone. With Jeff Lebby, I think two or three of our analysts went with him to Mississippi State. Then you had Lee Davis step down from her recruiting role and go to UCF. You had J.R. Sandlin just announce that he is going to SMU as their general manager. And you had Jay Nunez be hired by Alabama for the same position at OU. There is a lot of turnover on this staff. And as we look ahead, is this going to be a season of a lot of growing pains, do you feel like, with this turnover? Or is this much to do about nothing, in your opinion? Jared, I'll start with you.
Well, I know that they apparently have, I don't think they made it official, but I think they've chosen who they're hiring to replace Lee Davis.
Yeah, yes, I can't they recall have. Her. Yeah.
Did they make it official?
Ale is her last name. She was the...
she was recruiting at USC.
The Arizona, right?
Yeah, USC, and then...
Utah. Yeah,
she was at UC for like 2 or 3 years, and she went to Utah for a couple years, and then she was at the Rams or the Chargers, one of the two, doing stuff for them. So, yeah, that seems like a pretty big hire. But, yeah, I mean, to some degree, I think, honestly, when you look at the list, though, like outside of maybe, I know people don't want to hear this, outside of Jeff Lebby, nobody there really makes me be like, oh, man, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Besides, I mean, Lee Davis is probably, honestly, Lee Davis might be the biggest loss. Because I tell you what, by the way, I, you know, I'm going to like dox where I live, but I live pretty close to UCF. Dude, like, I can tell, like, because you can see the stadium, like, when you drive over in that area. Mm-hmm. And, dude, there's stuff going on there all the time now. Like, you can tell, especially on weekends. I guarantee if I drove out there right now, like, there would be, or I guess not the weekend, but, you know, if I even drove out there right now, there would be stuff going on. I've seen helicopters flying in. I saw a Lamborghini driving down there the other day.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm sure that she's just killing it there. So, and she's got a bigger role. So, but yeah, outside of that, it's like everybody there I feel like is replaceable. So I don't know that I'm really that worried. Jeff Lebby and Lee Davis are probably the two biggest losses.
Right.
And then outside of that, I'm fine.
So is it a good thing or a bad thing when everybody wants to hire away your staff?
And that was my second question was, look, J.R. Sandlin got a promotion to go to SMU. Lee Davis went from recruiting coordinator to assistant athletic director. Jeff Lebby goes from offensive coordinator to head coach. Jay Nunez and Ted Roof are the only, like, same level, like, transition, right? And I think you could kind of say with Ted Roof almost a step down, right, to be the DC at he went to UCF, right, with Lee.
I think so,
both ended up there. So I think it's actually a good thing. I mean, I think there's a positive spin to that it shows that despite having a terrible season 2 years ago and what would be considered a below average season for OU this year, everyone is hiring away your staff and upgrading them to higher levels, that shows that you're hiring pretty
well, look
good.
And then look at
what is going to happen going forward. It's all these people. All these coaches will be like, well, I know that I'm going to be able to get promoted after a year to 3 years with BV. So yeah, I'd rather go play with BV or coach with BV and OU, do some good, then get promoted and wherever else.
Look at Bob Stoops. How many coaches, like Bob Stoops coaching tree is nuts when you look at it.
Yeah. Same with Nick Saban. Same thing happened to Nick Saban throughout his whole career. Yeah.
And that's the thing is you don't have, and that's the thing is you really, outside of maybe Lebby, if you want to say, and I don't even think him, nobody left and was like, I hate OU or screw OU. I went out of there. That's so bad.
What do we have? Right? One wide receiver decommit and that was it?
After Lebby left?
I think so, yeah.
It was like a 3-star or 4-star, something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah.
But I mean, it is what it is. It's one of those things that I think you're going to see that. I think the fact that you build a culture where people want to come in and they can succeed and then they leave happy. And like I said, you saw that with Bob. Like, we'll take Mike Leach. Mike Leach was at how many schools? And if anybody ever brought up Oklahoma in any way, he's like, I love Coach Bob Stoops. Mm-hmm. Like, I love Oklahoma. Like, they're a powerful school. Like, never talked negatively. I mean, he wasn't one to anyway. But he was just such a, like, there's so many guys like that under that tree. And you didn't see that under Lincoln. Right? Like, people be like, yeah, Oklahoma's a good school. Like, that was it. You know what I mean? Like, it's a different culture, so I'm fine with it. Like,
yeah,
it's going to suck. I mean, there's going to be times that it's going to hurt, but you'd rather have that than you have, you know, Alex Grinch on staff for 10 years.
You asked a question, Daryl, is this going to be growing pains because of the new staff? No, it's going to be growing pains because we're in the SEC. Like, let's just call it how it is. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, and I agree with you. But my thought process was just that it's a combination of the two, right? Like, you have a lot of new. You have a new voice in the defense. You have a new voice in the offense. You've got new voices in recruiting, and you're transitioning to a whole new league, which just compounds the amount of change for the whole staff to adjust to. They've got to adjust who they're preparing for. They've got to adjust to the talent level. They've got to adjust. There's just a lot of adjustments, and you've got a lot of major parts. And really and truly, with Nunez leaving, and I know that we all know that special teams needed to improve, but he was technically the special teams coordinator. They couldn't call him that in title, but that's what he was. So your special teams unit has a whole new voice.
I just don't know what
as well.
I know there's a lot of limitations between obviously being a coordinator, like what they will allow you to do between an analyst and a coordinator. But the other thing was, did y'all see, just real quick before we move off football, I think, is Greg McElroy. Did you see what he said? That, like, OU, like, he thinks OU is in trouble and we're going to be have a losing season in the SEC. And while also touting Mizzou, by the way, I just find it funny to me. Greg McElroy just seems to be that guy anymore that, like, not that I necessarily disagree with everything he said, but it's like every time he gets a chance to, like, throw shit, he's becoming like a mini Colin Coward, where it's like he's going to throw shade because he knows he gets engagements.
Yeah, I don't know what his angle is. I don't know if he genuinely doesn't like OU or what. I am worried about the season, again, until I see an offensive line that can do something. I think our defense will be fine, but the defense can only hold so long. We've got to have this offensive line come together. So we'll see what happens there. Let's move into what Troy really wants to talk about. Troy, a little Thunder talk for you. Your one and only
timeline. You do that for me?
Your one and only SGA was a starter at All-Star Weekend. The timeline, as you like to say.
Let me start here. I think I called you this past week about the timeline, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
So I announced some weeks ago that there were two timelines on this team, Chet.
Oh, we've got multiple timelines now.
Now we have three timelines running in unison with J-Dub. Let's be honest. This is the trio. This is the three that will take us into the promised land. This is the three that's going to take us to the NBA Finals. Maybe this year.
Oh, wow. Wow.
This is the three that's going to get multiple MVPs. This is the three that's going to get Defensive Player of the Year's awards. This is the three that is going to define the Thunder 20 years from now.
Wow.
Okay.
Woo!
Troy, I just want to say, only one of us.
I was about to say, I knew this was coming.
To win.
I'm not giving you props on this. I'm just.
No, because you questioned me. You were like, I don't think they're going to do it this year. You straight up told me you didn't think they would get 50 games. You
said if I'm gonna be realistic, they're not getting out of the second round. If I'm gonna be realistic, but am I gonna cheer my Rastafarian nannies off? Absolutely.
I'm ready. I mean, I like they are.
And okay, sorry. Go ahead, please. I have other thoughts. Please go ahead.
I was just gonna say, not only are they really good. This has got to be, to me, I mean, I know I'm biased, but this has to be one of the funnest teams to watch in the NBA.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, 100%. On every level. Their style 110%. On the floor is fun to watch. Like, the game itself, the post-game interviews are a blast. Their interactions with each other on social media, all of it is great.
I've had multiple people that are not Thunder fans that I've talked to, and they're like, I watch the Thunder. By the way, I got free league pass for a year because I voted on Jason Tatum's All-Star kicks.
Yes.
So I have free NBA league pass on my phone for a year.
I got there 5 minutes too late. They just shut it down. I was like, dang it.
But the other thing that I'm getting so pumped about, and I'm also off the Giddy train, and I'm also on the side of Daryl now that Giddy cannot have minutes in the playoffs. And when it really matters, Giddy cannot have minutes. That the lowest point, we traded players that really didn't play much, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the highest point, we traded somebody that could start and close games for us and not be a liability. A liability, yes, thank you. And Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
We are not asking him to be Gordon Hayward of 8 years ago. We're not asking him to be the guy. He's going to get guarded by the third or fourth best defender on the floor. And I think Gordon Hayward will take that all day long, even at 32, 33 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that. And he's going to bring, you know, not awesome, not big man, but I mean, a guy that's got just good experience through the league. I know he hasn't had like deep playoff runs or anything, but I mean, just a good character teammate guy that's been in the league for a while with a really young roster, I don't think is a loss on this team either.
At the best, like, he's not going to be worth his 31 mil contract.
No.
We get his bird rights. So if somebody offers him the mid-level exception, the 13 mil for the veterans minimum or whatever, that 13 mil, we can be like, all right, 13 and a half mil. He's like, cool, I'll stay. And that's a steal. Sign up for 2 years on that, easy peasy, right?
And you still free up cap space.
And
yeah,
you still have 20, 30 mil in cap space. And so, like, this was a no-brainer trade. I'm glad we got Bismack. He's not going to move the needle at all. The only thing he's going to help is if somebody gets hurt and he's a big body we can throw out there, mm-hmm. right? That's the only thing. I mean, he is good on defense. He is athletic, and he can block a shot, but...
All the movement on the trade deadline. Let me ask you this, Troy. All the movement on the trade deadline. Does this just feel like that Sam Presti trade or movement where you're like, man, that's just the obvious thing to do. Like when it happens, you're like, holy crap. Like that is the move.
Yeah. Yeah. None of us talked about Gordon Hayward. No, none of us were like, oh, mm-mm. If he did this and this, that would be really smart. Like all of us were like, oh crap. Like that's super smart. I mean,
well, he seems to have that personality too. Like, that was our concern, was like, you don't want to do subtraction by addition, right? You don't want to add somebody that's going to create turmoil in the locker room. It's like, I really can't see Gordon Hayward being that guy.
The first game, here's what's going to happen. The first game that Gordon Hayward goes 3 of 5 or 4 of 6 behind the arc because he's just got wide open shots, right? And he does that. Immediately the team is going to just be like, holy crap, thank you. Like, and they're probably already like doing all this, like befriending, we know how it usually is, but that's going to like kick something else off inside their minds, being like, oh, we might've just unlocked another level of our offense.
Yeah. 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 I'm fascinated to watch it. I will say
he's available tomorrow night, by the way. He's available.
Yeah. He will play. I think there's no doubt he'll play tomorrow night. But when the trade first got announced, I was like, I don't really like it. Then I saw Zach Lowe lose his mind on the NBA show. And I was like, okay, that dude knows ball. So he's fired up. And then I talked to Troy, and Troy's like, I love it. And I'm like, okay. Like, if two basketball minds I know are fired up about this trade, then I'm yeah, good with it.
I will love it
if he stays healthy.
If he stays healthy, they start taking away minutes of giving it to Gordon Hayward. At the very least, they freed up 30 mil cap space next year. Yeah. Very least.
I think my only disappointment with all the trade stuff was that I just felt like, I know that Giddey has kind of been on a downward trend a little this year, but I still feel like he's a guy with upside. I still think there's potential there. And I just felt like he was a piece that you could really include in something to get another piece that, again, you got to do your due diligence. Not like, Jared, you said it so well, that it's not subtraction by addition. But, I mean, he's not playing minutes for you right now. He's decreasing in minutes. Find a team that's willing to work with him with the remainder of his contract. Because next year is his final year of his contract. And so, yes, it's a favorable trade piece in the sense that it's an expiring contract, but it's not something that you're going to give somebody and get anything good for in that situation, right? Like, that's, you're trading for minor pieces. And I felt like this season was still the season that you could move him and package some other stuff along with him to maybe get a piece to really help the team. But I'm not going to sit here and say that Sam Presti wasn't trying to do that, but that was just like, when it was all said and done, I was like, man, felt like we had enough to maybe go get something different for this team, and especially a big guy, which is everybody was hoping they would grab and get.
It does feel to me just like that people want to come to Oklahoma City now. Like, the last couple of years, I feel like that's, especially this season, obviously, that they're having success. It really feels like it was always like, because like, it's a small market, right? You're in Oklahoma City, you're not getting the same, you know, endorsement deals you're going to get in LA or New York or wherever else, whatever big market you want to talk about. But like, people really want to come here because it's a successful organization. Like, it's shown it again. Like, and like you said, I don't know if we were going to talk about it, but Carmelo and KD have both released videos in the last couple of weeks talking about how Sam Presti and the Oklahoma City organization is the best.
Go ahead, Troy. Tell us how you really feel about the videos of Carmelo and Kevin Durant.
They're fine. I appreciate it, but Carmelo's whatever. Like, I got no beef on Carmelo, but it's too little too late, Snake. Like, I don't want to hear this crap. Oh, the great run organization. Like, shut up, man. Like, keep our name out your mouth. I don't care if it's good or bad. Stop talking about us. Like, that's how much, like,
Troy, like, honest question. I'm asking a question in my own thought when I saw the Kevin Durant deal. I'm with you. When I saw Carmelo's, I was a little shocked. But as he talked it out, I was like, I think Carmelo really appreciated how Sam Presti did things. And he thought that was a good, and he was just sharing that. Kevin, here's what it felt like. Felt like he was saying, you know, next year, I'm going to have the option to maybe go somewhere else. And I want another ring, and I ain't getting it in Phoenix. So I wonder if I can ingratiate myself to OKC and Sam Presti again so that he'll put me with these young bucks and I can go get another ring.
That's what it felt like, especially with his agent saying the same bull crap. And here's why I'm going to go out on a limb, and everybody's going to say I'm crazy. I don't want that. And here's why. I want our young dudes to continue to develop. If KD comes, that's the guy like that stunts the growth of our young guys, because obviously KD's one of the best in the world and he needs the bulk of the shots and the opportunities and everything like that over over, you know, Case and Wallace, over Chet, even over Chet, guys like that. Like, you've got to let KD cook.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I don't, he might win us a championship, might not, but like, I want our young guys to develop. That's just me.
Yeah. Well, I just, I don't see the fan base. If he came back, would they boo him every night? No, but it's just not, it's going to have a funky feel to it, man.
It's,
he's not coming back. I'll tell you that right now. He's not coming back.
It's going to have a funky feel to it. But again, it definitely felt like posturing to me because again, we know for a fact, like for instance, his last year here, when Jay-Z and Kleiman, all these guys were his people, they never sat courtside in Oklahoma City one time in that playoff run. But they were at Golden State. They sat courtside at Golden State's games, but they did it in OKC. And his agent being on that video going, man, when you went there, it felt like family. When you, and I'm like, you wouldn't even know. You came to what, like two games in the time that you were his agent? Like, don't give me this crap. Like, again, it felt like a PR move, hoping they could maneuver themselves because they see that there's ring potential with the talent and the young talent that's on this team. That's what it felt like to me, and that's what ticked me off. Carmelo's was kind of fun to hear him say all that stuff. And he, like, and,
I think,
who was the dude doing the interview? Oh, I can't remember his, oh, goodness. Anyway, I loved him saying, and Sam Presti is sneaky cool, too. Like, sneaky cool guy. Yeah.
That's a, oh, what is his name?
Oh, my gosh. Something with a B, right, isn't it?
I don't know. Okay.
Sorry, Jared, right. You were saying something and I cut you off. I apologize.
Oh, I was just saying, it's funny to me just because I think, like I said, the optics of Oklahoma City, I think, is changing with the Thunder. Because, again, people still talk about the Thunder, but it's like, it's funny now because like Oklahoma City is having this huge growth spurt, like right? Like they're apparently going to build the tallest towers in North America or whatever. And
yeah,
growth spurt.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what? Like, really, honestly, if you think about, like, again, we talked about this when we were talking about the voting for the new arena and all that. Think back 15 years ago to Oklahoma City, the downtown area, just the Oklahoma City as a whole. And don't tell me that it's not massively bigger now than it was 15 years ago.
Yeah. Right. Well,
and it's really an up and coming city is what I'm saying. And I think people are taking heed of that.
Yeah. And I think the other aspect of it with the players, the other aspect that people are that it's changing, I do think, with the players was when you heard the rookies the last 2 years talk about Oklahoma City, they grew up watching Russ and KD make those runs. They grew up seeing Loud City be Loud City. And so they have this very favorable thought process towards Oklahoma City. Whereas 15 years ago when KD and them were building it here, OKC was a pasture with a stadium in the middle of it. And who in God's name would ever go there? It's a terrible place to be. But they grew up as kids. I mean, Shay talked about, dude, when I was a kid, Thunder were my team. Like, that's who I wanted to watch. And so with these younger guys, I do think there's an appeal, and I think that they're on the verge of being a place that they could finally sign a free agent that would want to come here and not have to trade for them. But I think that's more so what it is than even like the growth of the city. It's that, and then seeing, I mean, you can't deny OKC's track record of developing young players into great players that even go other places and have good careers. Is that fair to say, Troy?
Yes. I think that's 100%. I would like to do run an experiment with both of you.
Oh, okay? Lord. Okay. So scared.
All right. How many games have they played?
52?
54.
Three.
They're 37 and 17.
Yeah.
Okay. 54. So what are there? 28 games left?
Yep.
If I did my math right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Quick. I'm going to run through the schedule.
Okay.
I'm going to keep track.
Okay.
Between the two of you. All right. I'm not keeping both yours. We're going to do this collectively. Okay. Tomorrow night, home against Clippers.
Loss.
Win.
Okay. I'm not doing that. All right. Like, I'm not going to split it like that. All right. Friday night, home against the Wiz.
Win.
Win.
Okay. At Houston.
Win.
Win.
Home against Houston.
Win.
Win.
At San Antonio.
Win.
Win.
At Phoenix.
Loss.
Loss.
At the Lakers.
Loss.
Loss.
Okay. At Portland.
Win.
Win.
Home against Miami.
Win.
Yeah, I'll go win.
Home against Memphis.
Win.
Home against the Pacers.
Win. Win.
Home against Dallas.
Loss.
Loss, yeah.
Okay. I'm disagreeing with you guys, but I'll do my own thing later. At Memphis.
Win.
Thank you. Home against Utah.
Win.
Win.
Thank you. At Toronto.
Win.
Thank you. Win. At the Bucks.
Loss.
Okay. I disagree with that one, but that's okay. At New Orleans.
Win.
Win.
Home against Houston.
Win.
Win.
Mm-hmm. Home against Phoenix.
Win.
Okay.
Loss.
Okay. At the Knicks.
Win.
Okay. At Philly.
Loss.
At Boston.
Loss.
At Indiana.
Win.
At Charlotte.
Win.
Win.
Home against Sacramento.
Win.
Home against San Antonio.
Win. Win. Good.
Home against Milwaukee.
Loss.
Okay. This is the one I'm putting as a win on this one. Since Doc Rivers took over, they are so bad at defense. They're even worse than they were on defense, and they were really bad at defense. We will win. We will split with Milwaukee. One will be a win. One will be a loss in the last ones. So I'm putting that as a win.
Great.
And then home, finishing out home against Dallas.
Loss.
So we're going to lose both against Dallas. We're going to lose three in a row to Dallas to finish the year.
Yeah.
I
know you disagree with that. I know.
We
I know.
So that would make us. By my calculations, that would make us 57, 24?
And 25.
Right. 57 and 25. 57 and 25. That would be a wild number. If we got to 57 wins and finishing out the season at 20-8.
Yeah.
If we finish the season at 20-8, I think we would be that one seed at 57 wins. I really do.
Yeah, maybe.
It'd be close. The top of the Western Conference is so freaking crazy.
The difference is we have one of the easiest schedules left, if not the easiest schedule left.
And we've had one of the tougher ones on the front end for sure. Yep. But,
but it's also, it's like weird. Can we just say like it is weird with this team because like, you've beaten some dominant teams that were hot even at the time, and then you drop one to like the Pistons. You know what I mean? It's like,
but that's basketball. I mean, that's
I know.
To me, I think that's just NBA basketball. I mean, every Philly's lost weird games, Boston's lost weird games. Like
that. I agree. I'm just saying that it's the oddity of basketball and just the oddity. That's why, like, I'm saying, like Dallas is just that team that feels weird. Where like if they like, I'd think the Thunder are better than Dallas, but I could see Dallas beating the Thunder in some of those
games. I feel like the games that I picked, like even like Milwaukee, I just feel like Giannis is a matchup problem for.
He's a matchup problem for every single team.
I agree with that, but they have struggled with bigs. And then you add the athleticism and then Dame to be out there when they converge on Giannis. For the Thunder, that's a struggle. It's been the same with the Lakers. The Lakers aren't talented, but man, they're giving the Thunder fits, and it's the LeBron factor. Like, and I understand it's LeBron James, but him and AD's size has been a huge problem for the Thunder when they've played them. And
I think we the difference in the back half for me is I do think we drop one to Houston. I think we split with Milwaukee. I do think we beat the Lakers the last time we play them, because they'll have a little blood, like out for blood on that one, because we've lost the Lakers last couple times. And I think we will split with Dallas, because I think March 14th is the next time we play them. And they don't like losing by that many points. The next time they lose this year, then they see that team again, it goes a different direction.
You're not wrong with that being their MO.
And so that's why I think they split with Dallas. They'll take the March 14th and then maybe lose the final game of the season, April 14th to Dallas.
Something I can like see that.
Those are my reasonings behind that. But I think, and they probably split with Phoenix.
What's funny is I was counting my own decisions. I went 20-8, even picking the losses that I picked. But again, we're a little bit different in that, because I just don't see them losing to Houston. I don't see them losing to some of those teams.
And that's just basketball. Like you said, like we don't, like they could split with Indiana. They're so good offensively. But
yeah.
So
well, and you know how it is too. It could be that one of the Indiana games or the Houston game or whatever is a night where they go, Shea, your knee contusion.
Yeah.
You know, and without Shea, you just don't know, or without a Chet or a Jada, you know, like.
But can we just take a second and give it up to the Thunder for being 20 games over 500 at the break, at the All-Star break, only the fifth time in Thunder history? Like,
what they're absolutely. They went with what they won 44 games last season, was it, or 46?
40. So there's 40. There were 42.
41. No, they were 40. 40 and 42. 40 they and 40, were under 500.
40 and 42. Yes. Yes. 40 and 42. And so
they're three wins away from
three wins away. Total. Yes. With 28 to go. Like that. Like you just got to give it up to them. No matter what happens the rest of the season, this is a successful season. And let's think. For just a second, what's been the drivers behind that? It's two things for me. You can say J-Dub's ascension, yada, yada, yada. But they have essentially the same team they did last year. You just added Chet.
And Cason Wallace.
Cason Wallace has been good, but he's not – if you look at his plus-minus, he's not a difference maker in the plus-minus.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think gets glossed over quite a bit – is bringing in a Chip England.
Yes. No.
Those two things, you have essentially the same team, the same makeup. Cason Wallace, yes, I get it. He's awesome. He's going to be a stud. But the driving thing is Chet. Chet has opened up, has unlocked another facet to this team, offensively and defensively. Not many teams can say they're top five in both offense and defense. In fact, nobody can, except for maybe Boston.
Yeah. And I agree with you, Troy. I mean, I don't want to be like negative, but to me, based on what this team's done, they have to win a first round playoff series if healthy.
I don't disagree with you.
They have to for it to be a success. If they go through a first round series and they look like trash, now we're going to have to start having the conversation about, is this a regular season makeup of a team? And because I think
you need to have multiple years of that to happen for us, that conversation
for it to really happen. Yet, but you know, it's going to be a conversation piece if they go through and they lose an opening round series 4-1 or
if they see the Lakers in the first round, or they see the Warriors, something like that, a veteran team that knows how to win, knows playoff basketball. Everybody in Oklahoma City needs to be prepared for them to lose a first round series and not lose their freaking minds.
Well, and people have to understand too, it's like, as good as the Thunder are, it's weird. The Western Conference is actually really good. And the Eastern Conference, I mean, there's the top half of both conferences is really good.
Like, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no. It used to be like, you know, the bottom two or three guys in the playoffs were just not that good. Or, you know what I mean? Like, we're clearly going to get knocked out first round. It's like, you can't say that about any of the teams. Like, I think the Lakers are still on the bubble. It's like, do you really want to play the Lakers in the playoff? And you think that's just going to be an automatic win?
Not with LeBron there. Like,
yeah. I mean, it is what it is. But
yeah, I agree with that. I'm just saying, and look, if it goes 7 games, right? Like, I feel better about that. But if they go into the first round, you know, like let's take it last year. You won your play-in game, or that first play-in game. Then the second one, you got annihilated, right? Which again, like, you just kind of look at that, and one of the X factors there was that Josh Giddey was one of your main players, and his inconsistency showed up. He was epic in game one, and he was a no-show in game two. And when one of your big three is an absolute no-show, that's going to happen. But I think that's the judge for me, is they need to, I would say, win. But again, even if it was highly competitive and you looked at them and said they can play playoff basketball, like this team and the makeup and the way they play can play in the playoffs, because it's a different season. But like, those are two different worlds of regular season versus playoff season. And I just want to see them be really, really good in those open. And I'm with you, Troy, like second round, if they made it to the second round, like then I'm totally like, they've done everything and more than we could have ever hoped for in the season.
Well, here, like, let's put it this way. Let's just put it in a scenario. The Lakers get to play the Lakers first round of playoff and they lose in game seven. Like, to me, that's still a success. Like, as aged as LeBron is, like, LeBron's still LeBron, and the Lakers really, like you said, they're not, you know, they're not a top to bottom phenomenal team, but it's like, they still got guys like Anthony Davis can show up and things like that. Like, it is what it is. So
yeah, I'm down with that.
I'm just saying, like, people are going to lose their mind if OKC loses the first round, no matter how they lose it. And people need to get their minds right for that to be a real possibility, because just like the NFL, rarely does a team come out of nowhere and just win the Super Bowl, right? You need to go through your growing pains.
Yep.
The NBA almost more so than the NFL in those regards. You have to go through your growing pains. They have not yet. So, like, be prepared.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Speaking of growing pains, real quick, I just want to highlight some stuff before we wrap up. You cool with that, Daryl?
Yeah, yeah.
It's your birthday, whatever. Softball team still lighting it up, undefeated.
No, they've lost.
Did they lose?
They lost.
When did they lose?
They lost to Baylor last week.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, win streak
is over, but they're still really, really good.
Yeah, still phenomenal. I really hated, by the way, Jordy Ball went down with an injury in Nebraska, her first game. Feel terrible about that. But exciting news for both you guys. I hope I get to play video games with you, because EA Sports College Football 25 has officially been announced. They released a trailer. I thought it was hilarious because they were like, they filmed it at the Rose Bowl, or at the Coliseum, and they're like, oh, this place will be filled up in no time. And like, the comments were just like, wait, isn't that just a normal USC game? I was like, dude, it was phenomenal. But anyway, I'm excited for that. So hopefully we can do like an online dynasty, or yes, maybe you should do a just okay. Maybe we can do a just okay, like a dynasty mode, but we all have to play. We all have to do everybody's done this in NCAA football, right? Like, we took like a no-name school and like built them into a powerhouse. Everybody's done that, right? Am I just the only one?
Oh, heck no. That was the fun.
Hey, yeah. Daryl, where are you talking about? OU has not lost in softball.
I was going to say, I don't think they lost.
Oh, I thought they ended up losing
the
game last week.
No, they have not lost. Why are
they're
you
still pretty sure not? They're
9-0.
Okay, my bad. I apologize.
I was like, I just wasn't going to question because you seem so confident.
As soon as he said that, internally I was like, effort, that is not, it's not true. And I had to go,
I was like, I don't think they've even played Baylor yet. Yeah, they had the close one against Washington where there was a very questionable call.
Baylor's who beat them in the streak last year when they started.
That's who,
yeah. So the streak still continues.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
No, but.
Guys, I'm old.
I don't know.
How old are you today?
29?
That's a new girl quote.
No. 49? 45. 45 today.
45. Wow.
Yeah.
So what's AARP like?
Not there yet. I don't know. They didn't accept my application, said I had to wait.
What was you know, I've been like really getting into like the whole Masters of the Air show. What was World War II like?
Oh my gosh. I don't know.
There's a new one on it's a sci-fi one that just dropped on Apple TV. I'm excited about watching. I forget what it's called.
You need to, you both need to watch freaking For All Mankind, by the way.
Yeah, I watched the first two episodes a couple weeks ago and I need to keep going.
Yeah. There is a sci-fi one, but I know which one you're talking about, but I haven't seen it yet. Yeah, Masters of the Air, actually, I haven't really enjoyed that much, to be honest.
Oh, we'll see. Okay.
It's okay, but
I haven't watched either one.
All right, I'm going to go spread democracy.
All right, go and do it. Hey, again, we are done. That's all we have for tonight, but we hope you've enjoyed it. And so please, again, like, subscribe, follow all those things if you enjoy what we're doing here. Again, not insiders, not reporters, just guys talking Oklahoma sports. That's Troy. That's Jared. I'm Daryl. And we will talk to you guys later.
The All-Star game was trash. Bye, Baker.
Cha-ching, it's under money ball.
You can unhitch the wagon. Put the ponies in the ball.